do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today, my guest is Silva and Gold. She is a hip-hop artist and musician. And today, she joined me to talk about the power of consistency, of staying consistent, and most importantly, discipline within our work. For a lot of us, it's very important that as individuals, we continue to develop and push ourselves forward. A lot of the time, we don't give ourselves enough credit in regards to what we're doing or to our achievements. And for the most part, we should cherish those moments and use it as that catalyst to continue that momentum that we're building. So I hope you guys enjoy the conversation. It was great. And if you haven't had the chance to listen to her music, I highly recommend you do so. You can listen to it right now. Just a few seconds. We're going to be hearing it from Lessons off her Gabby Guerrero LP. And at the end of the episode, you're going to hear the song that's you can find on YouTube. I believe it's called Acrylic Banger. And yeah, check it out. I highly recommend it. Like I mentioned it, and I wouldn't be saying it because I'm trying to sell it to you. It's good people and good music. Without much further ado, I hope you guys enjoy the conversation.
Lessons from the past and I apply it. I'm open-minded, but there's a limit, this I can't deny it. Some type of firmness is required, this I recognize. Careful to balance knowledge I allow inside. Testing everything like 1 Thessalonians 5. Giving ears to my parents and my friends alike. And so I take a magnifying glass to mama's brain. Dissect her pain, asking her how the 6 of us came. Devoting equal time to pop because it's fair. Sits in his chair as he's recounting his despair. Looking at the ceiling, holding back the tear and wondering if all the years of so-called healing he has not completed. But all I can do is tap his shoulder, tell him it's okay. Thanking him verbally for the human that he created. Sometimes I'm mediocre, but at least I can convey my feelings with words that he encouraged I display. Playing me music, paying for music classes. I was drawn to hip-hop, the beat was sweeter than molasses. Friends playing in sync,
cool. Pop was turning right into acid. Yeah. Sweet. Awesome. What's up, everybody? Thank you guys for tuning back in into the Social Primate Podcast. Today, our guest is Silva and Gold.
Yes.
What's up?
Hi, how are you? It's
pretty good. Thank you. Huh? Thank you so much for coming out. I know you guys, you and Destruct here in the back, came out. Yeah. Thank you for making the time. Shook Knight. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming out. I know you've been basically, you know, pumping out content, music, for the last year. We were just talking about that. Do you want to give us a little bit of information about what you do, your background? I know a lot of people might have heard you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny because you and I, it's not the first time we've sort of collabed, because I had a song on SoundCloud, one song on SoundCloud. And I know that your podcast picked it up to display it on the show. And I was just super excited because it was just my first song on SoundCloud and you put it up there. And that's how our sort of relationship started. Yeah. And that was that. And then it's a year now. And we're promoting the full-length album.
I know. Yeah. I mean, for people who are just tuning in, before we went live, we pretty much were just talking about her progress over the last year, how she's being consistent in regards to releasing, like you mentioned, that SoundCloud song. What is that considered, like a single?
It was a single on SoundCloud with my friend Flight and Doe the Savior. It was just a song that I recorded. I had a song. I wanted to record somebody. I met him at a show and we recorded it. We put it on SoundCloud and that was pretty much it. Yeah. And then that's when you guys heard it. I had a link on my bio on Instagram. Yeah. You guys heard it. You loved it. So, and I was so excited. So thank you once again.
Yeah,
for
and
that.
I think when you, when did your album release?
Like this last album, it was released November 14th last year. Yeah, so 2019. Like
2 months or something, right? 3 months?
About 2.5 months, yes.
Gabby Guerrero
LP? Gabby Guerrero LP, yes. Damn. That's the name of the album. That's my name.
Yeah.
But that's not my real name. That's my nickname. That's what my close family and friends call me. So I wanted to name it after like a nickname just to sort of introduce myself to the world very personally like that. So I named it the Gabby Guerrero LP. Yeah.
Damn, sick. So, I mean, how has the journey been for you? I know, how long have you been doing this for? Let's start with that.
Well, you know what? I started writing poetry since I was very young. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really sure when to say that I had started to rap, because I started writing like when I was a kid, but officially like rapping over beats, that just recently happened a couple years ago. So, but I remember that One Below, shout out to One Below, he told me that I should start saying since I was 8. And I'm like, why? He's like, because you wrote your first poem when you were 8, right? So you've been rapping since you were 8. You got to tell people that. And I said, oh, okay. So I've been doing it since I was in elementary school, I guess. Damn. But that was pretty much it. just writing and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I loved hip hop so much when I was a kid. Like, I always did. But I never, ever, ever, even for a minute, mm-hmm. thought that I would be able to rap over these sick-ass beats. I never thought I'd be able to do that, because when what I would see on MTV, BET, didn't look like me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was out of the question. It wasn't even something that I thought about, but I still loved it. And mm-hmm. that was that.
Yeah, I'm just sorry to interrupt, but yeah, you know, you saying that you didn't see anybody kind of like how you look like you exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's, I would definitely see a point in that, because for me, for a while, every time I would see somebody that wasn't African American, you know, like just darker skin color, and I saw them like rapping or anything, it looked different. I was like, what are they doing?
It was, you know, very different.
Yeah, for sure. And even when I first heard like a female Hispanic rapper, I was also like, what this is new, you know. But you know, it's you know, grown, and obviously the music is fucking dope, you know.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I never thought that I would be able to, until I finally did. I just did. Mm-hmm.
Was it scary?
You know what, it was hard. It's hard to explain, because I always felt like I needed to do it. Mm-hmm. It's always been a part of me, but I never really did it. Was I scared? You know why I wasn't scared? Because when the time came for me to finally like start performing, I was already a student of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I was already schooled in it. So when it was already like, you know, time to really get on stage and start to perform and stuff, it was just kind of like, yes, it was the right time.
Yeah.
I felt very comfortable. I knew that it was time. I guess timing is everything, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Like being a woman first, you know, first and foremost.
Yes.
How has that been in regards to, you know, going into a field that's predominantly like dudes, you know, because for sure, you know, you go into them and the majority of them is going to be guys in there, you know, and I'm assuming, you know, you being on stage, you have to put it like you're facing like another type of pressure in a sense, you know, air quotes people. How has that been for you personally?
That's a really good question. I love that you asked that. Well, I feel like I don't look like I could rap, I guess. And unfortunately, like, I guess superficiality in hip hop is probably never going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much we think it's, you know, getting better, and it's improving, it's progressing, but I don't think it's ever going to go away. I think we're always going to judge people by their physical appearance, specifically in hip hop.
Yeah.
So that's that, you know? So, I understood that when I wanted to start to make some music, I already knew it was going to be an issue. And sure enough, it is. And it was like in the beginning when I was trying to find some people to help me collab or help me record, because I don't have my own equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I would try to reach out to people. And of course, men primarily were the ones that had studios and stuff and had the production and stuff. And so sometimes their intentions weren't what my intentions were. Mm-hmm. You know, I really wanted to make music, and they thought maybe it'll be like an opportunity to get to know me personally and probably go out as opposed to really, you know,
like
build.
Keeping it professional.
To build something great, you know. So I had to run into some people like that in the beginning. But you learn, you move on and stuff, and you keep trying. But I guess in the beginning also people didn't really take me serious because of how I looked, I guess. And it was annoying, but now I like it. Now it's almost like, you know what? Now it's, I like when people underestimate me, you know?
Yeah.
At least now. But yeah, it's never going to go away. It's never going to go away. It is what it is. I look the way that I look, and that's that. It is what it is, you know?
Yeah, like you mentioned, like in regards to like, you know, working in the studio and having to, you know, they were trying to take it somewhere else to where it shouldn't have, you know?
Yeah.
Bringing that up, I think there was a song I was listening to, I was reading some of the lyrics on it.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know. Let me pull it up real quick.
It was probably Lessons.
Yeah, it was. I was reading, I was like, damn, like these, I guess what I took from it was that most of the lyrics were like taken from your experiences. You know, you were talking about life experiences,
from
how like kind of you've changed the perspective on things.
Yeah.
Is that like your main thing that you try to go with within your music? Is that like a therapeutic thing for you? That sense?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. I always write almost every single day.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever I go through that day or have gone through, whatever keeps occupying my thoughts, I will totally write about it. I carry a notebook with me everywhere. Even Destruct, he knows that I have a notebook in my backpack everywhere that I go. So yes, very therapeutic. Obviously I write from a female's perspective. That's inevitable, right? Mm-hmm. So that's that. But I hope that whoever listens to it, regardless of gender, race, and age, they can sort of acquire something that can encourage them, like genuinely encourage them, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what I hope to do, at least. And I hope, yeah, that's pretty much what I hope.
And yeah. You said right now you're putting together the next full album. Is that what you're
trying? Yes, yeah. I've already started. Well, first of all, this first album, the Gaby Guerrero LP, came out in November last year, 2019. That one, it took us 3 months to do.
Damn.
Yeah, it took us 3 months to do. So that was really great. And it came out, and I'm so glad with the feedback that I've received, honestly. I don't think anybody understands that whenever somebody encouraged, like, even if it's just one encouragement from one person, like, that goes so far.
Yeah.
So I've been really grateful lately, and we've already started working on the second album. Yeah, already.
Damn. So how is the workflow for that? Like, 3 months to create something. I mean, look, I listened to it, and I encourage people to listen to it as well. Like, the quality of it was good.
Thank you.
You know, no offense to anybody else, but you hear some other ones, some music, and if you know the recording, like the production of it, is not as crisp as you would like it to sound. This one, you can bump it as high as you can, and it's like, damn.
Thank you. And I know Destruct appreciates that too. I'm sure Destruct appreciates that too, because the sound quality is everything to him. And
they're not paying me to say this, people. It's the truth. So you know, check it out for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We worked hard on that. On mixing and mastering. For those of you that make music, you know that mixing and mastering is probably the most, that's the most specific, I think. That goes beyond everything. So, yeah, that's the hardest part. Damn. That's the hardest part.
I mean, how does somebody find, like, the team to put this all together? That's, like, I would think, like, a band. You know, back when I was in high school, I was in, like, a punk band. That was cool and shit.
Okay.
You know, so, but you see, like, the chemistry of everybody. There's, like, multiple personalities that you have to go through, egos. And somebody wants something that taste. Somebody else, yeah, you know? So it's like, it could be difficult.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how is that? I can't talk about how it is for producing and, you know, putting songwriting together.
First of all, I know what you're talking about as far as the band, because I used to be part of a band too. And it is a lot. It's different personalities, different likes and dislikes, different opinions, ideas, even goals.
Yeah.
Different goals. So I understand that, but it does take a team, whether it's a rock band or if it's just like a hip hop album or whatever, it does take a team. Unfortunately. Yeah. And I say unfortunately because some of us are not so, they're not, I don't know. Sometimes I'm a little bit more introverted and I like to do things by myself, but it does take a team no matter what. And I'm understanding that now because, well, more than ever before, because I have Destruct and stuff and how much work he put into this album as well. And then the person who mixed the album, FaZe, shout out to FaZe. So it takes a team for sure. It takes a team. You need a team.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, we all do.
Every now and then you do the hand, you know? So like, do you think like your consistency comes from the fact that you put yourself on a higher standard or because you are, you know, it's the people around you who keep that momentum going?
It's a really good question. Okay. So I think it's a little bit of both, but I think it starts with me. It starts with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's if I don't want it, how am I going to convince the people around me to help me want or to help me acquire it? Does that make sense? I'm gonna say that one more time because I want to make sure people hear it. If I don't want it, how am I going to convince the people around me to help me get it? Like, how are they going to believe in me if I don't believe in myself? You know, sometimes, like, for example, we have some people sometimes in our life that believe in us more than we do, and that's not gonna fly. That's not gonna work. Yeah. You know, like, sometimes our moms and dads can be like that. They see so much potential in us and they push for us, but we're just like, eh. Then that's not how it works. And I think it's the same thing with a team. You know, if the engineer, if she believes that I can do this, but I'm not really like putting in my part, then we're not going to get anywhere. So I think it ultimately starts with me.
Yeah.
It starts with the artist And then after that, you get other people around you that believe in you and in what you want. And they get so excited that they work hard for you because they want it like you do. And it's a team effort. Everybody gets blessed at the end of the day. So I do think it starts with the artist, you know. So as far as consistency, it started with me for sure. It started with how much I wanted it, you know, and how much I was, I went out there to collab with people, to try to build, to really introduce myself and build friendships, you know.
So
it starts with me. Yes, I mean, how bad do you want it? It starts with you, you know. Other people will believe in you if you believe in yourself. No, basically,
I think you put basically, it fucking you put right? it great. Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense because, you know, you mentioned you have to. If you don't want it yourself, it's just gonna eventually feel like a drag. It's gonna feel like a what is the word I'm looking for?
I feel it. Like a job, like a chore?
Like a chore, like a
responsibility?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the worst.
And then they just, you just lose all in like enthusiasm.
Then why
forever.
Even do it, right? Like get out of the, like just don't do it type thing, you know? Just don't. Don't waste anybody's time. Don't even waste your time. And you're taking space for people that want to do it, you know? No,
it's okay. Oh, you're gay? Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would say the same thing because, you know, when I first started doing the podcast, I'm not saying it's huge and stuff, you know? But
yeah.
Since it started, there's a big difference between then and now, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And even at some points now, you feel like, you know, I take myself a little seriously. I take myself seriously. I have to
you're supposed
enforce
to, yes.
myself, you know, on that, right?
Yeah.
And there's also, you know, in the back of, you know, somewhere else, there's people who I've heard say, like, they don't look like it's going anywhere. And it's kind of difficult to kind of like fight with those people, you know, because you're going to have them regardless. People are going to want to say that kind of stuff.
Eddie, you have no idea. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse.
The critiques?
Oh yes. Shit. Are you kidding me? It comes with the territory.
Yeah, part of it, huh?
It comes with the territory. People are always going to have something to say no matter what.
You've had people really tell you?
Of course. And so have you. And you're going to have more because you're going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And when with growth comes critique.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I've had critiques like crazy.
Yeah.
People all the time. Even my own family. You know, my own family. My close friends. And of course, even outside of the people that I know personally, complete strangers, like on social media, just, you know, weigh in on me. And they don't even know me sometimes. Yeah, but yeah, it's going to happen continually. So if you're not used to it, you better get used to it.
Yeah, I think a few months ago, I had somebody here on an episode. And during the live feed, or I think afterwards, I guess they heard it. They just live like this. It wasn't a bad comment, but they were just kind of like pointing out something. And I read it and I was like, all right, cool.
Pointing
like,
out something about your show?
Yeah, exactly.
While they're on the couch?
It was, I think, because, you know, I fucking smoke and occasionally I'm like, you know, just fucking getting stuck. And they're like, get on, just say what you got to say or something.
Oh my God.
And I was like, okay. I mean, I could have taken it two different ways. I decided to take it in the shape of maybe constructive criticism.
Okay.
Only because I said, okay, maybe I could smoke a little less weed or at least practice my, you know, like enunciation, pronunciation, you know, and work on it. Cause I can feel that wouldn't be necessarily a bad thing.
Or worse, even worse. Yeah. Imagine somebody who's never heard your show once and they already have an opinion about your show. That's probably, can you imagine that?
Yeah,
that's annoying. And that's going to happen.
Fuck that guy.
And that's happened to me. People that have never even heard of my music, that never even, that have shook my hand one time, never even played my music, already have an opinion about my music and about me. So that just, that's going to happen, you know? You have to just let it go. You know what I'm saying? Let it go. Because they've never even heard your music.
Yeah.
Like, if they've heard it, then maybe it's constructive criticism. There's nothing wrong with that. But if they've never even heard your music and they shook your hand and they have an opinion about you and they're already, like, sort of cursing your future, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't process, so I have to just let it go. You know what I'm saying?
That's a really good point. Now that you've told me, I'm going to prepare myself mentally, get ready.
Prepare yourself for the haters. It is what it is, you know?
I mean, that's what, right? I mean, there's a saying that something about haters, you know, I guess you're doing something that's noticeable. People
at least they're taking note. Exactly. If you ain't getting hated on, that means you ain't doing something right. So.
Oh, there you go.
That's so, destruction.
Bring it on, haters. Come on. Join right now. Nah, but, you know, I want to go back into a little about the consistency part. You know, I know for sure. It's hard to be consistent. You know, I would say from my experience, at least doing the show, you know, knowing that I have to, I don't have to, but I know I want to produce content at a specific time frame. I know I have to stay on top of what I'm doing, you know, stay ahead of the game, maybe like a week before, knowing who's going to come on, what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so on and so forth. And it's hard. It can be like a drain, a mental drain, you know? Like, yeah. Do you, I'm sure you took time for yourself, maybe a few days to kind of come back, you know, prepare or, you know, get grounded in a sense.
Yeah.
Every now and between projects, I would think.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's cool that you have the show, and I hope you keep on going, because so far it's been really, really cool. Everything's cool. You. The presentation and like the fact that you have some music from nearby artists. I think that's dope. And of course, I'm sitting in the interview, so I can tell you it's a great interview. So keep on going. You know what I'm saying? I guess the hardest part about all this is just convincing other people, you know what I'm saying, that I can do this, and just trying to really blossom outside of my city, outside of this country even, you know what I'm saying? That's the hardest part, just getting the recognition and the respect that I deserve. Yeah. That is going to happen eventually, but that does take time. And I have to understand that, we have to understand that takes time, but with consistency you cannot fail, right? But as far as actually producing content, honestly it's not so hard for me. I'm going to be honest with you, because I'm good at it and I like it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes when you're good at something but you don't like it, then it's like, ugh. You know what I'm saying? But or the opposite, if you're not so good at something but you wish you were, then it's like, ugh. But when you're good at something and you actually enjoy it, then it's not that hard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a whole different mind state. Yeah.
It's not that hard. Even more specifically, when I have the resources that I've never had before. Now I do. Now I have my own studio, for example, but I didn't before. But to actually produce the content, it's not hard for me. Like I said, I write every day. I'm blessed to have help now. Yeah. So it's like, I love doing it. I have the help. Yes, let's do it. I guess my advice for the people who, I guess, find it difficult to put out some content, obviously be consistent and make sure you love it. If you don't love it, don't do it. Don't do it.
Some people like to drag it on for a while.
I wonder sometimes about artists that are in the same like category as I am, like I wonder, like, do they do it because they love it, or is it just because, I don't know, it's trendy or something?
I get,
you know, what I'm saying. I can't speak for people like that
jumping in the bandwagon type of thing.
I can't speak for the people that are doing it as a trend, because I don't understand that. I'm not. But if you're doing it because you love it, then keep on doing it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have, what is it, a user here, Jay Wolvie, says, wow, she's absolutely right. I definitely agree with her.
Thank you, people are so judgmental, Jay Wolvie.
And the worst. Yeah.
Sorry, I joined late.
Well, we got a new listener.
Anyway,
I'm reading the comments.
So, will you be able to hear any of her music on tonight's show? Oh, yes, damn. Yeah, you will.
Yes, right?
You got to stay tuned. We're not going to tell you when. That's why you got to stick around the whole time.
Yes.
Maybe like a few minutes.
Damn it. But yes, the answer is yes. Thank you, Jay Wolvie.
Thank you guys for commenting.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, like, you got to find different ways or different outlets to, like, you said earlier that you consider yourself, in a sense, like an introvert. You know, it might come as a surprise for some people, but I feel like I'm an introvert. Like, if I get out of here right now and I'm in this group, I'm probably not going to approach. If I didn't know you, you know, I wouldn't approach anybody or make conversation. I would just stick to myself. But because I'm put in this position where I kind of have to open myself and conversate or have a conversation with somebody, it opens up like a whole new layer of growth for myself, you know, because I'm breaking out of that comfort zone. You were gonna say something. Sorry.
So why? What made you want to create the show?
Do this?
Yeah.
Oh damn. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that.
I didn't mean to flip the script or anything. You know, I love journalism, by the way. So I do that sometimes. But I'm serious. Like, why? Like.
I mean, I don't know. I guess it, just to sum it up. There was a lot of rejection in the sense of like. The work that I was doing, like I've mentioned this a lot of times before, but my thing is I do graphic design.
Nice.
But when I first started, it was kind of hard getting a job because people expect you to have work when you don't, they don't give you work type of thing. So it's kind of like, you know, double-edged sword type of situation. So I decided like, hey, I'm just going to start creating like a brand. And it kind of, you know, I was like, oh, I love podcasts. I'm going to put those two together.
Nice.
And I kind of just wanted to stop being so shy or reserved. You know, I kind of felt like I needed to network and to get to where I wanted to go.
Yeah, yeah, I feel
And you. Unfortunately, that meant I had to speak to people, you know?
Damn it, I know, right? I feel you.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, it's cool. I've since then, I've met a bunch of great people. Yeah. I've had lots of good conversations, and my perspective on a lot of things have shifted, or I've, I feel like at least I've matured in a sense.
That's you know? Really great.
A little bit, maybe.
Well, but, you're here having it now. Yeah. So from the looks of it, it wasn't an accident or a mistake. Like, this is totally meant to be, I think.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope he keeps going.
Well, you know, I mean, you're here now. Like, this is happening. This is just a cool spot. But I'm sorry. Like, you were saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, point is, that's I just kind of wanted a break from that for myself. And at the same time, I wanted to have people who didn't have a way of having their voice heard.
That's nice.
Have a place to have their voice heard.
That's great. So, as far as being introverted, like, it's ironic, isn't it? Considering that I have to perform and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. In front of people, a group of people. Damn.
You know what? A fun fact. Yeah. Actually being on stage to perform is not my favorite thing about doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
What?
My favorite thing is actually making the music, you know, being in the studio, listening to beats, writing. But performing, it's not my favorite thing to do.
So your rush comes mostly from when you're creating the music?
Yeah, than being on stage. I would rather not be on stage. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, when I am, I feel very blessed. It's a weird feeling because, like I said, I don't like to perform as much because I'm a little bit more introverted. But when I am there and when I do recite my art, it's the dopest. The dopest feeling ever. And just to hear that other people are encouraged by it, then it makes it all worth it. Like, it makes me being uncomfortable worth it if people are receiving something from it. But yeah,
Did you get stage fright like the first time you had to go up there?
You know what? I was in a band before. Mm-hmm.
And
even when I was younger in church, I was in a band too. So I was already on stage constantly. Yeah. I was already on stage constantly. Isn't that ironic? So I've always been on stage, even though I've never liked to be on stage. So I'm comfortable there already. You know, I guess it just depends on the size of the stage as far as how uncomfortable I am. The bigger the stage, the more uncomfortable I am, to be honest. But I'm comfortable on stage technically, but it's to perform. It's it's still tough. It is. It is tough for me. It never becomes easy. It's never easy.
Damn. I was here a few months ago with somebody else, and it was just like 2-3 people right here, and they're like, "Oh, just go on the stage and try to make a joke." And I was like, "Nah, dude, I can't do that."
Try
shit.
To make a joke.
Yeah, like I was like, "Nah, I was fucked that. I'm getting off the stage." Like,
it's hard.
Yeah, like, nah, that was already too much pressure. I can't imagine being in a group, like, you know, a crowd and having
imagine
to address
having
them.
A big old stage. Like, that was scary. At the Far Side show, I opened up for the Far Side a couple months ago.
Oh shit, that's right. Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah,
that
was the pretty Far cool. Side. Yeah, it was great. It was a big stage, a bigger crowd than I had ever had. So I was really nervous then, for sure. Because I'm used to smaller shows. Yeah. So I guess, like I said, the bigger the stage, the more nervous I get. But that was I was very nervous at that show, for sure. But I am introverted, even though I'm doing this. It's ironic, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, it's just an illusion, at least, that I'm in here. You know, I'm more comfortable with Dre being around than, you know, just in front of this microphone. But if whoever's watching, I was in front of them, this wouldn't be happening. I'd be like, "Hey, guys, go outside, you know?
Close your eyes."
Close your eyes.
Totally understand you. Just so you know, I totally understand you. Same personalities, probably, yeah.
AJ Wolvie said backup dancers might help to motivate you more and give you positive vibes.
Wait, who said that?
Jay Wolvie.
Backup dancers.
Jay Wolvie. Backup dancers?
Wait, who's going to have backup dancers?
No, he's saying I should have backup
dancers. Oh, you should have backup dancers?
Look, he's saying I should have backup dancers. That's a really good idea. If I had a backup dancer, I would feel much more comfortable. I'm just not sure my music goes with backup dancers. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I guess.
I don't think it's not like party music, you know, like the whole in sync, like.
Bye, bye, bye. Yeah.
But maybe in the future, I don't know. You know what? Yeah. I'll probably, we'll see.
Yeah, you're going to brainstorm about it.
Thank you so much for the comments. I appreciate them. Jay Wolvie, say more things. I like it. I like what you're saying.
So just quick thing here. So like your muse. So you said you're working on another project right now.
Album number 2. Yes.
So how, coming just from the first, like, I guess your full album, how does that put any pressure on you to say like, oh, I got to. You know, you draw, you know, this is one time, just a really quick example. I was in school and I drew this fucking cool art piece and I was like, fuck, this looks fucking dope.
Yeah.
And then when it came down to me doing another project,
yeah,
I just fell in a blank. I felt like there was this pressure and like everything just felt like it was closing in on me. Like, oh fuck, you're not gonna do better than the first one.
That's a bad mentality to have, Eddie. No, 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 no.
Oh shit.
No, I'm actually not. I don't feel no pressure.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I know it's gonna be better, but at the same time, like, it's gonna show growth.
Yeah.
It's gonna show growth. This next album is gonna show growth. I never feel so pressured about wanting to top my last project. I know I'm going to. First of all, I already know because I'm learning. So how can I not improve if I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, obviously I'm improving, you know? Obviously I'm improving. So I don't feel any pressure. I know this album's gonna be doper on its own. Like, yeah, I'm not scared. And
I like this. I'm gonna really listen to this conversation when I'm like just like feeling blue. It's like, all right, fuck, I gotta keep going.
Okay, look, like in life overall, where we get older, and because we get older, we learn more, we become wiser, our experiences show us. So it's literally impossible to not improve even in life because it's automatic. It's just part of life. The way that you have to get up and you brush your teeth and you wash your face, you also improve in life. You get smarter, you get wiser, you learn from your mistakes. So it's just automatic. I'm automatically improving the way that you're automatically improving too.
Yeah
So no pressure. I know it's gonna be better.
You're throwing the truth out.
It's just like the circle of life. Wait, no, it doesn't apply. But sorry.
I get you. No, I mean for sure, you know. And I think it's funny because sometimes it's those you know what you just said, which sounds like extremely straightforward and like obvious, but a lot, you know, there's a lot, you know,
forget.
Yeah, exactly, you forget and you know, then you don't know how to get out, you know, and it's not until, again, you start hearing it somewhere random, in ear, you know, ears reach, and you're like, oh shit, that makes sense, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, I hope. Yeah. But you are improving, we're all improving, so yes, I'm not worried. It's going to be dope. It's going to be sick, and I have collabs on this one. So on the first album, I only had one collab, and it was Destruct. On this one, I have more collabs with artists, so I'm really excited. A lot more people are in this album with me. So
you guys, when you guys are doing collaborations, are you guys like both in the studio at the same time type of thing, or you send the music out?
It depends. Yeah. It depends where they live. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if they live close by and if they want to hang out, then we will collab together. We will vibe together. We'll talk about what it is that we want to talk about in the song. But some people do live a little far from me, and that's why we have the internet. Yeah, for sure. We could just send tracks. They have their own studio. I have my own studio. We could just record. So it just depends on the artist, what they did.
Damn, that's so cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I already mentioned this earlier, but yeah, The Rooftop. When I first saw you performing, you were, I guess they put you on the bill for the Silent Hip Hop.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was cool, you know, because as far as I'm aware, I didn't think there was a community like that. You know, I just recently started getting into hip hop, so I'm like new. You know, I'm like, but you know, my friends listen to it, and I've gotten a lot of influences from them. So my taste has changed, grown, and everything.
Yeah.
So knowing that there was something going on in HP, you think you're?
I'm from HP.
Oh, you're from HP.
I went to HP High. Yeah. Are you from HP?
No, I'm from Cudahy.
Nearby.
Yeah,
nearby.
We're like 5 minutes away.
Yeah, I'm from HP. I went to HP High and everything. What school did you go to? To Bell?
Bell High School, and then some other school that remains unnamed. Nah, it's Elizabeth Learning Center.
Why? Why does it remain unnamed?
It was a whack school.
It is. No offense.
No offense to everybody who went there.
Shout out to Class Elizabeth. Of 08. I'm sorry. It's because, you know what? It's a newer school than like the more historic, like Southgate and Bell and HP. Yeah, like our schools are like antique. Like I feel you.
You were class of what?
Oh,
man. Oh, let's retract that during.
That remains unnamed, like Elizabeth Learning Center.
All right, cool. But being from HP, do you have like a fan base within there? Like, is that like?
Wait, time out. The HP show. When was that?
The HP show.
The rooftop that you saw me the first time. Do you remember?
It was already getting cold.
Was it?
Well, no, I think it was still summer.
Was it? Obviously, it was nighttime. I'm trying to remember. Was it the I think it was the first show I ever did with Selah.
Oh, really?
I think so. Damn. I was wearing all black. I had my hair up. Do you remember?
Yeah, like a ponytail, wow. I think, or something. Yeah.
That was my first performance. My first hip hop performance.
Wasn't that was like a rap battle or something? No,
no, it was just there's always rap battles there, but when I performed, that was the first time that I performed. And a fun fact, Eddie, fun fact, I met Destruct there.
Oh damn!
Yeah, in person there. Yeah.
Damn.
Cool, right?
That's pretty cool. That's weird. It's weird.
Yeah.
Damn. And then since then, you guys just been fucking.
Yeah, and then we just met there, and then he heard my song on SoundCloud too, as a matter of fact, and then he saw a clip of me at Selah, and we collabed after that. Like, we contacted each other and everything. Yeah. So that was a very pivotal show. Look at that.
There you go. You see, and it all happened in Huntington Park.
Yeah. Wow. You know? It all happened in Huntington Park. Yeah. And that's where I'm from. That is where I'm from. I consider HP my hometown, even though I lived all over Southeast LA. We moved a lot as kids. I consider HP my hometown because I went to high school and middle school there completely.
Oh,
so.
Damn. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I consider HP my hometown for sure. Huntington Park.
That's cool. Now, I think that I've seen there's been a lot of more progress. It looks like it's being cleaned up, at least for me. Compared to Cudahy, it's being cleaned up.
We have Pacific, you know, so it's like more, there's like a lot more happening there because of Pacific Boulevard. Yeah. But I guess it has.
It also kind of feels like Pacific is not the same, like maybe like 20.
It's not the same. Yeah, I don't know what happened to Pacific.
It used to be more familiar. It's like
people used to cruise. Remember? Yeah, exactly. They stopped cruising. That sucks. The cops,
there's
right?
There's too many cops. Fuck. There's too many cops in HP.
But it was kind of like a weekly like event. Mm-hmm. Like, why would you cut that off? It's family.
Yeah. Family's goal. For sure. It's weird now.
I feel like
it's changed.
The cops should, like, I guess, work with the city to make it like maybe a weekly event, as opposed to trying to stop it. Why don't you close down the actual street for like a few hours every Sunday? Work with the city, make it a dope event. Like, why are you trying to prohibit everything? You know. Sorry, I'm just high.
Hey, no, it's true. I can go down a rabbit hole in that sense, you know, because just to touch, put your feeling a little bit on it.
Yeah.
The fact that, like, I would think that one of the better approaches would be to have the police become more involved with the community, you know, just kind of for the residents to know who these people are instead of just random guys with guns.
Stop, close, you know? It.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
Nothing, no fun. And sleep. Like, dude.
Yeah, I've been harassed by them a few times.
Everybody has.
I know they have like this robot.
Oh, yeah.
Robot cop.
Robot cop in HP. I heard that's the government tracking. I heard that's not good. Yeah. Why do they have it in HP and it roams all over the park like that? Yeah, scanning faces?
The first place that would be like in the white neighborhood. No.
Yeah, why here? Why is there a robot in the park in HP scanning faces? And I don't know. I don't trust that robot. I don't trust that robocop. Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah, it looks fucking hilarious. I mean, people can see the screen right now because they're watching. Let me pull it up for those who are like, what are these people talking about?
Oh, yeah. We should show people.
Let me see. What is it called?
He looks like R2-D2.
Yeah, he does.
Looks like HP has R2-D2 in its parks. No joke. Look.
Yeah, right here.
Look who we have.
This quick video here.
Look who we have. The first city in California to have that, okay? It's HP.
Yeah, the first city is HP for some reason.
The idea of the robot actually was introduced by the
mayor. The president.
So look, it looks like fucking, kind of like a mixture of R2-D2 and Eve from Wall-E.
The name HP RoboCop for Huntington Park. It's, you know, rather a futuristic piece of equipment that essentially is a sophisticated...
It's funny how like they designed it so it doesn't look like deadly or like lethal, you know? It's like super friendly.
Even though it's tracking all of us, scanning our faces.
Members of the community.
Yeah, so yeah, we're looking at an R2-D2 Eve baby robot. But it's supposed to be just recording video surveillance and it's supposed to connect to the cops as soon as like a crime happens.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I've never touched it.
Yeah, no. It's probably as tall like where. It's probably like halfway. Like,
right. I've never seen it in person. Have you?
Yeah, I've
in
seen
person.
It. Yeah, I've gone to Salt Lake Park a few times and you see it just roaming. And you get on its way and it's like please move out of the way.
Wow. And it's rude and too. Like, great. Can't catch a break.
It, I mean, you move and it does say thank you. It keeps fucking going.
It says thank you. And then it like, stupid idiot. Like, oh, wait, what was that?
yeah. It's a trippy robot for sure. Like the concept of it is weird, but
yeah, I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it. Disapprove. Disapprove. The robot in HP. I think it's creepy.
Hey, our lawyer says, WTF, I feel a lawsuit coming.
Hey, no, I think there's something recently came up too. I'm like, let me see. I'm just going to look for it real quick. Damn, what is this website called? I mean, there was some controversy with that robot too, that it's actually doing something all funky. Like, let me see. Let me look it up real quick. But yeah, just the thought of having something like that to me is weird. Like you said, it happens in this community when...
Yeah.
Like, for what purpose? What's the real purpose?
Yeah, what's the purpose of having that robot around the park and stuff and HP, you know? I just... You know what? Don't make fun of me, but I just saw The Matrix, like, a couple weeks ago for the first time in my life.
The first one.
The first Matrix, yeah. I had never seen it, right? But I think it was a good thing I had never seen it as a kid because I wouldn't understand it. But now I see it with more like, okay, you know? Mm-hmm. Dude... Computers, man, I'm telling you, they're gonna take over the world. We need to be careful. So that's why I'm not down with that robot, you know. Terminator. Again, don't make fun of me, please. I'm not into movies, but I just saw Terminator for the first time, 1 and 2, a couple weeks ago. I'm telling you, man,
I'm gonna be honest, I haven't watched the first one.
Watch the first and the second. They're very insightful.
I watched the last one. Which was all right.
It was I. Yeah, it was all right. It was I. The first and the second were really good. You should watch. I'm telling you, technology, they're tracking us. Robots could take over the world. I just know it.
You see, like right here, I found the page here from Cela Chisme. Shout out to Cela Chisme.
Oh, Cela Chisme. I follow them too, actually. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were the homies. So it's their post says HP Robot Cop is not linked to the HP Police Department and is sending your information to a tech corporation in Silicon Valley.
North surveillance in our hood. I'm telling you. Yep. I'm telling you. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I mean.
Surveilling our hoods, huh?
I wonder for what purpose. I mean, I don't know. It sounds... Diplomats?
Google Maps.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully, I don't think it has anything lethal at all, but anyways.
But after watching The Matrix and The Terminator for the first time just a couple weeks ago, it's pretty scary. I think we can all agree on this. Right, guys?
I don't know if you've seen the videos of the... There's this company, something Institute, Boston University or Boston Institute, with the robots. Like, they're robots that they're making. Have you seen Boston Dynamics.
What is it about?
So, it's basically what you're talking about in the making. It's like, it's... Let's see, Boston...
Yeah, I think I'm playing. Yeah, for sure,
Dynamics.
Right?
Dynamics.
It started out with the robot that couldn't walk and now they can run in the field.
Oh, yeah, watch.
Robots can run in the field? Check this one out real quick. That's not funny.
Look, this one can do gymnastics, watch. It's doing a fucking flip. Yeah, look, it's...
Oh, my God.
That's a robot, people.
Oh, CGI, man.
That's CGI. CGI? No, this is real, man.
That's fake, bro. It's CGI.
Okay, wait.
Are you sure?
Okay, wait. Chappie?
Yeah.
Chappie.
What is Chappie?
Chappie's cousin, man.
Okay, fine. There is another one. Okay, that one maybe did look a little too fluid. Okay, look, this is a new dog. But the whole idea of it, again, is just, like they're already building on this.
What's the name of the company? Maybe it's something
that looks fake. That looks fake? Nah, that one's legit.
Okay.
That looks legit. Look at the dirt.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, man. We're into fucking Xbox controller.
You know what? Speaking of which, since we're talking about this topic, have you heard of that one company? I believe it's in Minnesota where the employees are now not required, but they're sort of like volunteer where they're inserting chips to actually walk into their job place, like to scan and walk in. Yeah, I think it's in Minnesota, somewhere northeast. And I think that idea came from Sweden. I think they're already started to do that in Sweden. But they're inserting, right? You heard about that, dude? Come on.
Oh, this one here. I think, let's see.
MIT? Oh, what?
And they love it?
Where is it, though? I don't know.
Three Square Market. Let's find out where this is at.
It did come from Sweden.
It came from Sweden that they started doing that. Wisconsin. Yeah, there you go, in Wisconsin. Somewhere up there.
Oh, fuck, that is trippy. So, look. What does it say here? He pays for it with a wave of his. Oh, so they. Oh shit! So he has like a, like a fucking little bar to use a vending machine with. Oh shit! That's one of the benefits, not the downside. That's all this stuff. That's all it is. So I guess you clock in.
You clock in like that. Oh, yeah, probably. Dude. By lunch.
By lunch, damn, that is crazy. So you're basically just like a walking smartphone in the sense, or like a Bluetooth device. You do it. If I would do it, I don't know. No, I don't think so.
No.
Give you an extra $1,000 a month
and
you're paid? $1,000? That sounds like selling my soul. That's what it sounds like. We'll give you $1,000 to give us your soul every month.
I don't know.
Don't do it, Eddie.
Yeah, probably not.
Would you do it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you would?
But what if you can't take it off anymore and it's like a bomb?
There's, you know, you're being tracked like crazy. Like,
I'm being tracked now.
I know, but you can stop being tracked. But you can stop being tracked by just getting rid of this. But once you have that implanted and you can't stop being tracked.
I don't know, man.
Don't do it, Eddie. Don't get the chip.
The only way you can track me is if it catches a signal, because it needs to be scanned in order for it to work.
That's what they're going to make you think.
Nah, man.
I tell myself when I pay this when I catch a check.
This is fucking
cheap. I wouldn't do it. My answer is no.
Fuck. Were you on one of those robot dogs?
A robot dog?
Yeah.
Nope. No. Why would I get a robot dog when you can get a pug? Oh. Right, like it makes no sense.
That's very true.
Right?
Nah, I wouldn't do it. That's too crazy. But I mean, we're kind of getting close to that time here.
Sorry, we did.
I want to go ahead and pull up one of your. Is this your? The MP3s are. Oh, I think you have a video on there too. No, let me see. Let me see if we can find it here.
I have Locksmith and I have Acrylic Banger.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you have a preference of what song you want the people to be like, oh, fuck. This is the one.
I mean, honestly, let's do Acrylic Banger just because that was the first music video I ever recorded in my life. So okay, let's just do that one so you can see my first video ever.
It's cool. Let's see. Big people Bo. Who want to see it, if you guys are watching it right now, it's on YouTube. And it's called Acrylic Banger.
It's a two songs in one. Acrylic Banger is one song and Patience is another song. We decided to just combine those two songs for the video, only for the video. So there you go.
Sick. Yeah. Cool. Let me see here. Before we start playing it, because we'll probably end it with the show, with the video.
Yeah.
If people want to find your music, if they want to go to see you fucking play.
I'm going to play.
Play guitar.
So I actually have a show tomorrow, but since the show's going to be on Wednesday, I have a show tonight.
Oh, shit.
Wednesday, February 5th. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, February 5th at Los Globos. Yeah. It's a free show. It's free before 10. Mm-hmm. After 10, it's $10. But I would go in for free if I were you because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a dope show. It's like a lot of girls on the lineup. Shout out to Foxy La Chingona for and the venue is so dope. So shout out to Foxy for putting this venue on together. So come through if you guys are available. It's free. I'm going to be there and I'm going to put on an amazing show like always. So I hope I do.
There you go. And then your Instagram would be...
Oh, yeah. I have a website.
Yeah.
SylvanGold.com. It's SILVAND and then the word gold. SylvanGold.com. I have everything there. I have all the links to my social media accounts. Cool.
There you go. We're
here. All my music on Spotify, on Apple, all the music videos. And I even have the tickets to the show for Wednesday just in case you cannot arrive before 10, buy them online. So,
yeah, people have no excuse that they don't
come like, through. It's going to be a real good show. It's going to be a dope show. Trust me. So come down tonight, Wednesday.
Who is?
J-Movie.
I will let this
come Wednesday on the 5th. It's going to be dope.
There you go. Jay Wolvie,
thank you.
Don't miss out. You have a new fan. It's like the plus one. Yeah.
Yeah. Come through. Free show.
Cool, man. So let me see here. Blah, 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 blah.
Acrylic Banger. And fun fact, Eddie, we shot the whole video in HP.
Oh, damn.
You know where? On Live Oak and State.
Live Oak.
The laundromat, the Shamrock Club.
Yeah. I think it's cool, just a quick like little thing there, the fact that, you know, when you see videos, like, you know, you see an artist, first of all, you like their music, and then you see they film like where they're from, in a sense, I think that just makes it like a bigger, there's a better connection.
Oh,
I don't know, it's Yeah.
Yes, that's the goal. Thank you so much. I shot it there, even though the lady at the laundromat wanted us to go. She was yelling at us, but hey, she made a cameo. She's there. She's in the video.
She's gonna come back together.
But shout out to the Shamrock Club for being so nice. Though everybody there was so nice at the Shamrock. Okay, there.
Cool. It's cool when they help. You know, it's super, about promoting each other nice. And like supporting each other.
All the men there, all drunk but nice, yeah. Nice men, the bartenders. But anyway, yeah.
All right, people. Well, we'll end it here. Again, you can find all her music.
Sylvangold.com. Sylvangold.com. And come through to Los Globos on Wednesday, February 5th, which is tonight. Yeah. Wink, wink. Well, tomorrow. Come through. It's going to be a free show. It's going to be dope. So, yes.
Sweet. And we'll finish it off here. We'll see you guys. Thank you again. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you, Eddie, for having me. Thank you for everything.
You guys have a good night. Thank you, Dre. Yeah.
Just watch it. I want to watch it.
Yes. Let's see.
Right, like someone like acrylics. Don't take offense to this.
Yo, I keep acrylic far away from my nail bed, and who knew it would repel males with no depth. Shallow, distracted by the colors and gems, she's waving them like flags, and so they overlook my disposition and the strokes of the back. These nails are bringing are most likely the reason that my love life in dry season, but it's probably a good thing because I'm avoiding the flimsy. Interested in making me only an arm accessory, not separating me from a bracelet or a watch. Looking polished like some bitch that could be bought, but I'm purchased already by the one who created ready-made me for the steadfast cultivator. So I'm waiting patient for a young man with passion who's on my baggy fashion, tomboyish fashion, mumble rappers relishing fellowship over caffeine. I mean, a girl could dream about a guy who these things he contains. Yeah. Cookies and wine, not a strain, but what I'm hoping we effectuate, my type of date or my taste at his place. On a Wednesday, we take breaks to record the wordplay over a beat from his friend in the bay. We never deviate as a rhythm decorates a feng shui of two souls that are pretty much the same. Or at least I pray. Yo, or at least I pray.
Moral of the story, man. It's like,
it's just my story. That's it. It's just me. It's just me.
But I don't give up, and so I tell them where to go, cause I've been hiding underground, been sharpening my sword. I've been too patient, but no staying quiet anymore. So now I'm digging through the dirt of mediocrity. That deceit to pose as MCs pissing me off, so I had to flee. Leave behind my safety blanket with the lion extra fluffy. Now I'm on stage leaving mics all muddy.
Silver and gold, I was hopeless, now I'm more hopeful.
I'm from HP. HP. I'm from HP. HP. I take lessons from the past and I apply it. I'm open-minded, but there's a limit, this I can't deny it. Some type of firmness is required, this I recognize. Careful to balance knowledge I allow inside. Testing everything like 1 Thessalonians 5. Giving ears to my parents and my friends alike. And so I take a magnifying glass to mama's brain. Dissect her pain, asking her how the 6 of us came. Devoting equal time to pop because it's fair. Sits in his chair as he's recounting his despair. Looking at the ceiling, holding back the tear, and wondering if all the years of so-called healing he has not completed. But all I can do is tap his shoulder, tell him it's okay. Thanking him verbally for the human that he created. Sometimes I'm mediocre, but at least I can convey my feelings with words that he encouraged I display. Playing me music, paying for music classes. I was drawn to hip-hop, the beat was sweeter than molasses. Friends playing in sync, pop was turning them to asses. Admiring those blondies, bunch of donkeys in my glasses. That boom-bap beat allowing me to overpass them. Growing funky, even as I acquired glasses. I was nerdy, but with swagger I was possessing. Jordans in my feet, almost too cool, wasn't advancing. Almost too cool, wasn't advancing.
from HP, 1.3 grade point average. Eventually graduated and went to college now. As an adult now, early curfew, but I'm not caring. From the anxiety of my destiny, not knowing. The clock is ticking, my mama asking about the Milky White here in between my black strands. It's a rare occurrence, but it reminds me of the time and how it's minimizing. How I'm gonna die, so I decide to ignite female's life through writing. I refuse to hold back anymore and inform about the power inside of us that we store. Making mountain moves, splitting seas apart. College so-called privilege of blaming my lady parts. But if I reject when you have power, then I'm through. All because I reject the offer of dating you. All because I reject you showering me with loot. And all because I told you, let's keep this professional. Let's keep this professional. Professional. Let's keep this professional.